last half of this year, I have rekindled a romance, a love from my childhood and early adolescence with someone I will call LC. We'd stayed in touch over the years, of course, catching up occasionally. But when I was a younger adult, LC felt a bit daggy or too much work. But look, I don't want there to be secrets between you and me. LC's true identity is library card. And I really have rekindled that love. I am in the library weekly these days. I'm picking up books I've put on hold, browsing the stacks. I love watching the teenagers cramming for exams or the older folks checking their emails, toddlers with their rhyme time. There is not a stereotypical, cranky, shushing librarian in sight. Because libraries have evolved, and whether it's the big state library in your capital city or the humble one in your suburb, the role of a library is stretching to meet demand, but the evolution hasn't come without friction. There's a recent controversy at State Library Victoria that's thrown a spotlight on a growing tension, which is, in modern Australia, who and what are our libraries really for? It's something I would love to hear from you on today. I want to know about your local library. Why do you go there? Or do you go there at all? Maybe your library experience is totally digital now. You're hiring out audiobooks and ebooks. Tell me about your local library and how you use it. And here to chat with me about this is Kathy Warburton, CEO of the Australian Library and Information Association, and Dr. Heather Robinson, a research associate at Flinders University and the author of Beyond the Books, Culture, Value, and Why Libraries Matter. Kathy, Heather, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me, Tegan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Heather, you're also a Melburnian. Can you just give us a brief overview of what's happening with State Library Victoria?
Well, it's a bit of a mystery in some aspects. We've had news from staff who have reacted against a reorganisation proposal that hasn't actually been made public. And according to staff members that have been quoted in The Age and The Guardian, the number of reference librarians is going to be cut to about 10, whereas previously pre-COVID, they were numbering 40 plus. There's talk about the removal of public computers, which play a vital role in digital inclusion for the disadvantaged members of our society, and basically trying to put greater focus on exhibitions and attracting tourists rather than servicing the community as a library. So unless we can have a look at this reorganisation proposal, it's really hard to tell exactly what's happening.
Like you say, it is a bit of a tricky one. There's been reports in the public domain about job losses and redistributing the workforce. We invited State Library Victoria to come on the program and explain their position. They declined an interview. They pointed us to a media release stating that the job losses are incorrect. There's going to be new roles created as well. We can put that on the ABC Radio National Life Matters website. But really what's at the core here is the pressure libraries are under to do a lot of different things. With the public exhibitions, Heather, do you think that is part of a library remit?
I think it's a great way of engaging people with the library collections, you know, highlighting some of the treasures that otherwise may not be seen by the public. These collections belong to the public, and I think exhibitions are a great way, a great bridge between the public and the collection by telling stories of our past and really highlighting the connections that the library has across communities. So that it's a great way of telling stories that builds on the research that has already been done with those items, yeah.
Kathy, what kind of pressures are state libraries facing under their business models?
Look, I think state libraries, like any other public institution, has to deal with the budget they are given. And increasingly, I think state libraries all around the country often supplement that income, you know, because state governments have many, many things they have to fund. They often supplement that with money from philanthropy, which is, you know, fantastic because, and it's I suppose, a growing thing, philanthropy in Australia. For example, State Library of Queensland has recently got a grant from the Ian Potter Foundation to advance early childhood outcomes and amplifying sort of the expertise of public libraries. And the New South Wales State Library is actually reopening its Macquarie Street entrance tomorrow. And there's been a big refurbishment of that area, and that's been half funded by state government, half funded by philanthropy. So they're you know, creative and inventive about the partnerships they have. But they, yeah, like with everyone, they have to live and operate within their means.
State libraries are pretty different to a local public library, Kathy. What sort of different challenges are those two types of libraries facing?
Yeah, you're right. They're very different. There's some overlap, obviously, in that people on the street who walk in, they're free, they're air-conditioned or heated, they're comfortable, they're welcoming, everybody's welcome. So there are a lot of really fundamental values, I suppose, that are held by both. They have very different purposes. And in fact, the state libraries have a legal requirement because they're established under an Act of Parliament, and they're a separate legal entity, and they have a legal requirement to basically to maintain, preserve and develop the collection, and that's collection with a sort of a capital C, which is made up of everything that's published in that state has to be deposited with the library. So they've got an incredible collection, historical collection and current, of books, journals, maps, music, photos, film, even in, they've got a social media archive as well, you know, so they're keeping up with times. And then they've got to maintain that collection and make that collection accessible to the public. And the important thing there in terms of the collection being accessible, it might be via exhibitions, which is, you know, that sort of cultural institution side. But they're not just there for the people who are in the capital city where the actual physical building is. That material, that collection, needs to be accessible to people across the state, which means, therefore, now a much heavier reliance on digital access. So there's that equity.
Kathy, that sounds so expensive.
Well, yeah, I mean, digitising things is expensive, but I suppose it's where does the, in terms of equity, where does the, who should bear the brunt of that, and so that somebody who's living, you know, in a remote town or regional town has that equal access to things, well, yes, there should be the expense, and it shouldn't be them having to fund it or miss out.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Kathy Warburton from the Australian Library and Information Association and Dr. Heather Robinson, a research associate at Flinders University, about libraries today. State Library Victoria's under fire at the moment for changes it's making to how it deploys the resources it has in terms of digital collections. And I'm asking you about your library, why you go there, what you love about it. You are absolutely melting the phones for me here. Christina says, I love my little local library at Constitution Hill in Western Sydney. It's old school, size of a small house, quiet and not much tech. Parramatta Library is closer to me and very fancy. Multi-use spaces, lots of room to gather, but that's not what I want from a library. I love the quiet contemplation of books on the shelves. Kim in Coonabarabran says, please understand that libraries are essential for many very poor people to access government services, including Centrelink. This is really hard for everyone because of privacy loss, technical know-how gaps, and the pressure on librarians of stressed members. Increasingly, Kim adds, libraries will be necessary for surviving heat. Another says, in this new age of AI, libraries and librarians will be more important than ever. It's becoming more difficult to find real, verifiable information online. Heaps of response there. Heather, what do you sort of hear from people about what their expectations are of what their local library should be for?
Well, I think that free and open access is critical to libraries' function, both now and into the future. But my research showed, you know, really what people value and expect is that authenticity and trust in the resources. And that is that's something that is shared by the community, that the whole community can count on. And the librarians are a part of that shared resource. They're the ones that build that sense of trust with not just the library itself, but, you know, the greater sense of community, that people can still go somewhere freely accessible and be able to have their information needs met. And particularly, I like the listener who was talking about accessing Centrelink and everything. A lot of people, I think, take it for granted, you know, that, you know, we in big cities are able to access a number of different ports of call for information and have Wi-Fi in our home and everything works well. But people at different stages of their lives often don't have a reliable home, let alone a reliable Wi-Fi network. So too, I think this is why people are reacting against the possibility of the withdrawal of public computers at the State Library of Victoria, is that that might be the only contact point that some people have with, it could be professional networks, it might be the ability to tap into Centrelink, as your lovely listener suggested, but it might also be where they can go and get assistance to write a CV, to get updated information about housing entitlements. So it's fulfilling the same functions libraries always have in terms of providing information that people are entitled to. But it's just the media and things that are changing, and I think this is what the current transition is about.
One text here says, I use my library nearly every day. I have to drive 30 kilometres to get there. I use the computer and printer and scanner. The staff are great. Well, Kathy, yeah. Your organisation's about to start a new national program to roll out across local libraries. What are you aiming to do?
Look, I'm finding it hard to hear you. I think, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Kathy, I might come back to you then and we might just do some troubleshooting on your line. Heather, you mentioned your research and I'd love for you to just expand a bit about how our attitudes to libraries have changed over time, because they've certainly changed, the functions of libraries have changed over time. How have our attitudes changed?
Well, from the people that I spoke to for my case study, which was the State Library of South Australia, people that I spoke to mentioned the things that, you know, Kathy has also brought up, things like the shelter, a safe and trusted space. That's really important. But it's also, as our world has become more digital, I know a lot of younger people in particular really loved being surrounded by books. And I think this is, you know, a lot of them would come into the library and talk about how, oh my gosh, it's just like the Harry Potter library. And they bring, it was wonderful because, you know, in the Mortlock wing at in South Australia was recently named the second most beautiful library in the world. And
wait, what's the most beautiful library in the world then?
The most beautiful was, oh, crikey, I should know that.
All right, you can come back to that.
It wasn't the Bodleian. Yeah, but it just sort of evokes that sense of imagination, inspiration, and dare I say magic. And they love just browsing the books. A lot of people don't have books in their homes anymore. And so for kids to come in and see this space that they can belong to, they can come into at any point and do their own research. They can read quietly. They can read Christmas cards. These are all the things that people told me they use the library for, just as a safe space where they don't have to pay any money. They don't have to sort of negotiate a latte over 4 hours in order to access the Wi-Fi. You know, they can just feel safe, welcome and secure and have these friendly people around them that can help them. It might be with their research, it might be with their schoolwork. But that trusted space as a young person becomes a relationship that people have over a lifetime with libraries. And so that's other things that I've heard from people are stories of going to a library with their grandfather. And it was this wonderful grown-up world of wonder and excitement and, you know, as an entry point to an adult world. And then they tell me that, and now I'm bringing my grandson,
oh my gosh,
you know, into the library. So it's a transgenerational relationship with, you know, a library, but also libraries in general. And I think this is what we're seeing with the reaction to news at the State Library in Victoria, you know, possibly changing, and that those relationships that people have with librarians, and they do build up relationships with the people that they have contact with on the floor. That's a really precious resource and, you know, for our communities. And so when they fear that, you know, their librarian might be getting the sack or, as the media release says, being redeployed into other areas, it becomes a personal thing because these places are very, very special to many people. and data that's been released by ALIA, by Kathy's organisation, as well as the National State Libraries Association, as our cost of living crisis kind of, you know, enters, I'm not quite sure which year it is, but, you know, people are turning to their libraries to maintain their cultural connections, to still access books and things, as you've been describing yourself, Tegan, to, you know, have that common ground contact with community, to feel part of something bigger than themselves. And so to be able to download the digital books, to borrow any sort of book. And so these loans are up across the board in Australia. Even digital collections are now 28% of the total holdings, and there's been 55 million digital loans and downloads and electronic retrievals over 2023-24, but there's 119 million physical loans were made in that same year. So 32% of all loans are digital, but it's still the majority of people are still going in to borrow books, or they might be DVDs or to read the newspapers and magazines. Mm. So engagement with libraries, people going through the door. Across Australia, there were 88 million visits. And that's fantastic in terms of utilising community assets. But unfortunately, you know, it's also within the broader budget context, there's the amount of funding available for libraries hasn't kept up with inflation. Mm. So libraries, again, as a lot of our cultural institutions face, are expecting to do more in times of crisis, but not necessarily receiving the resources in order to do that. So it's a real sticky point. And I think with, you know, an election in Victoria coming up next year, I think this is these changes at the State Library are happening within bigger budget considerations. And, you know, the feedback coming from researchers, writers from around the world, as well as members of the public to the changes proposed at the State Library reflect the value that that institution has to people. And I'd be very careful with trying to change it under these circumstances.
So, Kathy, what needs to be done to ensure libraries can thrive into the future?
Well, I think that basically there needs to be that recognition from both communities and governments at all levels about the increasingly important role they play, especially for those who are most marginalised or who don't have, can't afford access to resources or don't have the ability to access information online, either through affordability of the internet or the ability to actually navigate the internet. So libraries, I think, especially public libraries, need all those levels of government to really value the sort of support that libraries give the community. And I'm really pleased that that's what the Office for Social Inclusion at the Department of Home Affairs has done with this big program that's happening at the moment that we're managing in 125 libraries across Australia. It's 115 public and 10 university libraries. And the Department of Home Affairs recognised that basically the place to talk to the community, to really make an impact with the community, is through libraries. So I, of course, said to them that was very smart. Yeah. And and they have funded almost $10,000 per library to deliver six community cohesion-related programs between now and April. And really, that's what libraries are already doing. Community cohesion, it's about having people, you know, their loneliness epidemic, having people come into the library, feel connected, but also really understand their community and the diversity that exists and have a respect and tolerance for difference. And importantly, get the skills they need to operate and to participate in society, whether that be digital literacy skills, it could be AI literacy, lots of courses around that now at libraries, and other literacies which are important, whether it be, you know, for young children with story time, etc. So I think I would say to governments to look at what the Department of Home Affairs has done and keep doing more things like that, because people are going, as well as borrowing books and ebooks, etc., they're also going to programs. And in their report that Heather was talking about, the number of programs delivered at public libraries is on a very steady increase, and libraries can't meet the demand. And what they need is funding to be able to employ staff to deliver and develop those programs. And so I would say, look, you know, Services Australia, they send lots of people to the public library to get to say, oh, go to the library. They'll help banks say, go to the library. They'll help you fill out that form. Mm. Those sort of organisations and government entities really need to, I suppose, I would say, put their hand in their pocket and acknowledge that shift they're doing in terms of who's actually supporting the delivery of their services.
Kathy, Heather, thank you both so much for talking to me today about how libraries, great for books, so much more than just books as well. Kathy Warburton is CEO of the Australian Library and Information Association. Dr. Heather Robinson is a research associate at Flinders University and the author of Beyond the Books, Culture, Value and Why Libraries Matter.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.